You're listening to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on jitterymonkey.com. Now here's your host, Kevin Huntsberger.
Hey everyone, my name is Kevin Huntsberger. Thank you so much for joining us here on My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. This is the very first one, the opening match, if you will. So I want to express my appreciation to you for listening and also to the folks at jitterymonkey.com for inviting me and giving me this opportunity to share my opinions on the world of professional wrestling. And I'm going to start off by giving you a little bit of introduction of who I am and exactly why am I doing a wrestling podcast. Well, I have been a wrestling fan since about 1982. I started watching intently when I was about 10 years old, but was off and on watching in the early 80s. My brother and dad were really into wrestling, pretty hardcore, and I kind of picked up on it watching the Von Erichs, Ric Flair, King Kong, Bruiser Brody. A lot of the world class and NWA stuff is kind of where we started. And then, of course, WWF took over, and I went to my very first house show in December 1984. So 30 years ago this month, saw Hulk Hogan versus Brutus Beefcake in the main event in St. Louis. And that's where I'm from originally, St. Louis, a hotbed of professional wrestling, as fans may know that. I also decided a few years ago to start a wrestling blog, my123cents.com, which is where the name of this podcast was obviously born. Also have a YouTube channel where I share opinions and thoughts about professional wrestling and, you know, just really wanted another outlet to kind of share what is going on in the world of professional wrestling. In my opinions, I don't run a news site. I don't have any insider tips or know what's going on. But I do from time to time have the opportunity to talk to some people in the world of professional wrestling, whether it be WWE or on the independent level. And I do have a little bit of indie experience. I spent about 2 years as a color commentator for All American Pro Wrestling here in Southern Illinois, which is where I live now, and also had one match back in January of 2012. I really love professional wrestling and being involved in a couple of different aspects of the behind-the-scenes work with it, and then also the on-air talent portion of the business, too. So I've seen both sides of that and have met some great people along the way. And I'm hoping once I kind of figure out this whole technology thing with the podcast, because this is honestly the first time I've done this on my own, my goal is to incorporate some of my friends who are involved or who are fans of professional wrestling, specifically my partner in crime at my123cents.com with the blog, also facebook.com/my123cents, Chad Smart. We've been friends for about 11 years now and have been to a lot of WrestleManias. I believe we've been to 8 of them total, so he's going to hopefully one of these days join me as well, and we'll do some podcasting together. And you know, my goal is to also incorporate some wrestling-related interviews. My job as a journalist in the daytime, in the real world, if you will, I am a reporter slash news anchor for a TV station here in Southern Illinois, and I do from time to time have the opportunity to meet and talk with some folks in the world of professional wrestling, and I hope to incorporate some of those interviews into this podcast as well. So hopefully I don't bore you to tears with this very first debut show, and you'll be back and continue to support not only My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, but also the work we do on the blog and as well on YouTube, but also the folks here at jitterymonkey.com. And again, I can't thank them enough for this opportunity. So now that you know kind of who I am, I'm going to talk about TLC. Well, I guess it's TLCS now, Tables, Ladders, Chairs, and Stairs. And of course, I am recording this podcast prior to the Slammy Awards on Monday Night Raw. So some of these matches may be updated between now and the time that you are listening. But as we know it right now, John Cena will be facing Seth Rollins in a tables match for the number one contendership. I guess Cena, if he loses, will be stripped of the number one contender for Brock Lesnar's World Heavyweight Championship. And right now, I can't really see them taking that opportunity away from John Cena. I don't feel like the WWE has done a very good job of building up that next contender for Brock Lesnar. On paper right now, I would say Randy Orton is about the only other guy on the roster who would be a contender for Brock Lesnar. And of course, Orton, storyline-wise, has been written out with an injury. So time will tell when he's going to come back. And maybe it ends up being Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. We'll have to kind of wait and see. And I also want to also say here that my goal isn't to slam or bash or you know, disrespect anyone in the WWE or TNA or Ring of Honor, any of the companies that I talk about. I am going to try to keep this a positive and constructive podcast and blog as well. But I will from time to time voice my opinion on some things. And, you know, this whole concept of tables, ladders, and chairs, I'm not a big fan of the specialty pay-per-views, if you will, where they have these specific types of matches. You know, I kind of think they take away from that special feeling, just much like the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I liked it when Hell in a Cell was just kind of a rarity. We would see it every once in a while. We weren't exposed to it every year in two or three of those specific matches each year. But, you know, it is what it is. The business is changing and things are changing. And, you know, we kind of have to adapt and get along with those changes. Back to TLCS, there's a ladder match now between Dolph Ziggler and Luke Harper for the Intercontinental Championship. I was really surprised that Luke Harper did win the Intercontinental title. I'm kind of disappointed that they split Harper and Rowan, Eric Rowan, up as the Wyatt family tag team. I know obviously they had to kind of split Bray from the pack and let him go out on his own as a singles competitor, but I would have liked to have seen Harper and Rowan perhaps as tag team champions instead of Luke Harper as the Intercontinental Champion, but time will tell how he does in his reign. But defending against Dolph Ziggler in a ladder match, I really like Dolph Ziggler. He was red hot at Survivor Series, becoming the sole survivor for Team Cena, defeating three other men to earn that title. So, I really wish they would push the button with Dolph and stick with him and let him go for the long run. So I hope that he wins the Intercontinental Championship back. I think it will certainly not make him, Brock Lesnar worthy, if you will, but I think that in the absence of Brock Lesnar, they really need a strong champion, whether it be the U.S. champion in Rusev or Dolph Ziggler's the Intercontinental Champion. And I don't think that they pulled the trigger on either one of these men to kind of push them up and make them the focus or their championships or their titles. Luke Harper included in that mix, obviously, as well as he is as right now the Intercontinental Champion. There's a stairs match between The Big Show and Eric Rowan, who, of course, is Luke Harper's former partner. It looks like Rowan's kind of getting a new push. I wouldn't be surprised to see him win that match. There's a TLC match between Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose. These two are great performers, two of the best right now on the WWE roster, but I really wish they're both young and they're both looking for that next step on the ladder, if you will. And I'm kind of disappointed that they're facing off against each other instead of going against competitors that could maybe put them over and then eventually have them meet down the road. They're two young, great guys who are assets to the WWE roster, and I can't imagine nothing but bright things for either one of these men's futures. It seems to me that Ambrose has a little bit of little bit more support behind him right now, I guess, is what I'm looking to say. And so I would predict that he is going to be the one that walks out the winner in this match. There's a chairs match between Kane and Ryback. To me, Kane's by no means I'm saying that he is unworthy of still being on the roster, but you know, he has been around for a very long time, and I think that they are seeming to be pushing Ryback a little bit here, so I would suspect that Ryback will go over in that match. And Mizdow defends the tag team champion, I'm sorry, Mizdow and The Miz defend the tag team titles against the Usos. I like both these teams, and I do think, though, I would like to see Miz and Mizdow retain and continue this storyline, this feud on into the new year. So I would imagine that there may be a Divas match added to the mix here too before it's all said and done. Again, I am recording this before any official announcements are made on Raw, so some things may change between the time you're listening and the actual pay-per-view. Next, I want to talk about NXT, and I really am a fan of the WWE Network. If you do not have it, you know, I'm not going to shill for them, but it is definitely worth the cost. Just for the NXT program, in my opinion. And I am watching it, but I don't watch it as often as I should, and I am getting back onto a more consistent schedule with that. But NXT TakeOver, Our Evolution, is coming up on Thursday night, and it really, you know, the NXT program, in my opinion, rivals any other wrestling program on, and that includes Monday Night Raw. I think an hour is just enough time. It is fresh. You're seeing new competitors, you're seeing guys getting an opportunity, and gals who are hungry. And I think that hunger is an important element and an important aspect in this business. And I think that there are a lot of talented men and women, not only in the ring, but you know, at the commentary desk, who are helping to put these shows together. So there is a group effort going on there at NXT, and Our Evolution will be probably the best of these NXT TakeOver events of 2014, in my opinion, with a main event of Sami Zayn challenging Adrian Neville for the NXT Championship. Both of these guys, I have had the opportunity to see them and meet them on the independent circuit several years ago. And I can't say enough great things about both of these guys. They are not only hard workers inside the ring, they are true gentlemen and true class acts outside of the ring as well. So I can't imagine this one not being worthy of perhaps a match of the year consideration. I don't know. I'm leaning towards Sami Zayn to win the championship. I'm a huge Adrian Neville fan. And my fear is if Neville loses, or if Zayn loses and they decide to put either one of these guys on the main roster, my fear is that they kind of get lost in the shuffle of the WWE main roster. We've seen it happen time and time again with some of the NXT guys as they get pushed up into the main ranks. Big E kind of comes to mind as one of those guys who was kind of red hot for a little bit, and they moved him on to the main roster. He did a little bit of work there that you thought, okay, he's doing pretty well, won the Intercontinental Championship, and then kind of fell into obscurity. Now back as part of the New Day, so hopefully that push for him continues. But, you know, he's just one example of guys who make it to the main roster and then kind of get lost there. So I don't want to see that happen to either one of these two talented individuals. And I'm not opposed to seeing them stay on NXT and, you know, continue to kind of be the big fish in a little pond. Charlotte, the daughter of Nature Boy Ric Flair, and I wonder if she gets tired of people saying that all the time, defends the Women's Championship, the NXT Women's Championship, against Sasha Banks. Charlotte, a great overall performer. I think that she will probably be called up to the main roster sooner rather than later. I think the Divas division right now on the main roster does need a little bit of help, and I do think that Charlotte is the one that can get up there and deliver and continue to add to some of the other talented Divas who are currently working on the WWE roster. The Lucha Dragons defend the NXT Tag Team Championships against the Vaudevillains, and I really love this duo. I love the concept and the idea, the intro, the promos and the vignettes that they've done with the Vaudevillains. I really do enjoy their work, and obviously, probably sounding kind of biased, I do think and hope that they are the ones who go over in this tag team matchup. Some other notes that I want to talk about, and I will eventually incorporate TNA and Ring of Honor and Chikara. I know Chikara had a big show over the weekend, and I have not had a chance to see that. My goal is to incorporate all kinds of professional wrestling, not just be a WWE podcast. And I apologize, this week is kind of all WWE related because I've just had more access to WWE over the last couple of weeks to kind of formulate some notes and get some things going. But other kind of news and notes, if you will, I'm just going to offer a couple of quick opinions on CM Punk signing with the UFC over the weekend. That was a big announcement made. And you know, I wish Punk the very best in his future, no matter what it may hold for him. I know he's working on the comic book Thor as well. You know, CM Punk is a very talented individual. We all know that. He left WWE right after the Royal Rumble earlier this year. And of course, if you haven't heard his podcast with Colt Cabana, the interview with Colt Cabana on the Art of Wrestling podcast, it broke the internet, so chances are you have heard it. But he is very specific in some of the things that happened with WWE that he did not enjoy. And I have mixed feelings about that. I understand Punk's point of view as an artist, as a talent, if you will. But also, you know, knowing that it's Vince McMahon's company at the end of the day, and, you know, and I hate to pull that that phrase, but he does have to do what's best for business. And you know, at some point, he decided that it was best to cut ties with CM Punk. And you know, if CM Punk is truthful in what he says about some of the medical conditions and the way that he was feeling and being ill, I totally sympathize with that plight that he went through. And you know, I don't necessarily think it's fair that CM Punk was fired on his wedding day. They can say it was a coincidence, but as Punk alluded to in the second part of his interview with Colt Cabana, you know, I'm not so sure that they didn't know what they were doing. But again, I'm not going to cast stones here. I hope and I do believe that one day down the road, and I know CM Punk is adamant that it won't happen, but I would not be surprised if one day down the road we see the amends made there, and we do see CM Punk back with the WWE in some capacity, because I thought years ago that Hulk Hogan would never be back. I thought the Ultimate Warrior would never be back. I didn't think we'd see Bruno Sammartino back, but all three of those gentlemen made their way back to WWE and made amends with Vince McMahon and the company, and I think wrestling fans around the world have benefited because of that. My final piece of business today, kind of something that I saw this morning, and that is the Undertaker's image appearing on the WrestleMania 31 bus. They send buses all around the country to events and whatnot to promote WrestleMania, and a lot of people buzzing and speculating about that. My personal opinion, I never once thought that The Undertaker would not be a part of WrestleMania 31. I'd be more surprised if he wasn't on the show. I know his match with Brock Lesnar, which Chad and I were fortunate enough to be at the Superdome in New Orleans to see that streak come to an end, and it was quite a shock. But I did not think that he would not be back, although that was a brutal match. We heard that he collapsed once he got through the curtain, the gorilla position, back into the backstage area. So obviously The Undertaker's health still kind of in question, but we're going to kind of wait and see what that means for his performances in the future. WrestleMania 31, of course, coming up in San Francisco. There has been speculation of who he would face. I know a lot of fans want to see him face Sting. I'm still kind of on the fence about that one. Now that the streak is over, it could happen, but storyline-wise, from Survivor Series point of view, it would make more sense that perhaps Triple H be a part of that. But I've also got another conspiracy theory that I'm working on in my head that I'm kind of embarrassed to even talk about it at this point, so I'm going to wait and wait and see a little bit and see how things kind of pan out before I actually publicly say what I think may be happening with some of the behind-the-scenes storylines leading up to WrestleMania 31. So that is my 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. Again, you can join us at my123cents.com and weigh in and let me know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Check us out on Facebook. Also look for us on Twitter at my123cents. Folks, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for listening to all the podcasts here on jitterymonkey.com. For my123cents.com, I'm Kevin Huntsberger. Thanks for listening.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.